Hey, man, thank you. Thank you so much. We got some water now so Brother Johnny can soak his teeth while we're having a meeting here. It's time to bring the man of God up to the pulpit. Amen. Let's give God a big hand, Brother John, his ministry. Amen.
God bless you. Well, it's a real joy and honor to be back tonight. I've really been looking forward. I thank the Lord for everything that he did for us on yesterday. But that was a brand new, tonight's a brand new table. And we'll see what God wants to do for us here tonight. How's that sound? All right. Got him on. It's on, brother. Thank you, sir. And so I want to thank each one of you for being at God's house here tonight. Good to see my good friend, Brother Moss, and his dear wife. Glad to see them here. I enjoyed the singing. Thank you so much for each and every song and each and everything that you do to help me while I'm here. I want to say that I really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I've got a kind of unusual thing that we'd like to do here tonight. And I'm sure not trying to add nothing to the singing or nothing like that, but there's an old, old song that used to be sung, and I have the words to the song. I have the words to the song and the song, because the old message really speaks to each one of our hearts. And it's about Christ coming to our house, about Jesus coming home to your house. How I got this message is last year sometime, we had been in a meeting at a church, and a man stood up and gave a testimony. And this is what he said. He said, I was saved in this church, he said, almost 30 years ago in Vacation Bible School. And he said, every night, whenever the Vacation Bible School would leave out, the teacher would take all of us kids on the front porch, and she'd take the key and she'd lock the front door, and she'd say, good night, Jesus. And he said that went on all that week, teaching the scriptures, and every night as kids were ready to go, and she'd lock the door and say, good night, Jesus. And he said the last night of Vacation Bible School, he said, I asked her. He said, ma'am, will you not lock that door tonight? He said, I sure would like Jesus to go home with me. You know, I get invited to a lot of churches, but I don't get invited to many homes no more. Is that right? And can I tell you something? We'll never have no revival until the homes get straightened out. We need a mama and daddy revival. We need the houses to get back straight. Is that true? And so I was thinking about this old song before we read the text here tonight. Would you play that song there, brother? And the word, look at the words of that song. A good question. If Jesus came to your house, if Jesus came to your house and spent a day or two, if he came expected, just dropped in on you, I wonder what you'd give him the nicest word.
If Jesus came to your house,
yes.
I wonder what you'd do.
Yes, that's the truth.
Yes, if Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpected,
yes,
just dropped in on you. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the foods you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare.
Yes.
But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door? With arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor?
Yes.
Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in?
Yes.
Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been?
Yes.
Would you turn the radio off and hope he hadn't heard? And wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word?
Sure. Yes.
And would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you,
yes,
would you go right on doing the things you always do?
Yes.
Would you go right on saying the things you always say?
Sure.
Would life for you continue as it does from day to day?
Yes.
And would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace?
Yes.
Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed?
Yes.
And would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go?
Yes.
Or maybe would you change your plans for just a day or so?
Yes.
Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends?
Yes.
Or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends?
Yes.
And would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on?
Yes, good question. Yes.
Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? Oh, it might be interesting to know the things that you would do.
Yes.
If Jesus came in person to spend some time with you.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. Before, I want us to do one thing. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2. Thank you, brother. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2. And then we'll turn to the Old Testament for our reading. Not going to hold you but a few minutes. I always try to take and respect school night. Children got to go to school. Parents have got to get their children to bed. But in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2, and in verse 1, and the Bible said, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. It was noised that Jesus Christ was in the house. I want you to know today that Jesus still makes house calls.
Amen.
He still makes house calls. Now do me a favor, turn over to Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus chapter number 25, if you would please. Exodus number chapter 25. In Exodus chapter number 25. Brother, will you put that picture up there, please? Do you have to take the light back off again, or can you leave it on? Leave it on. Yeah, leave it on. If you would, please. This is a picture, what is known as the Ark of the Covenant. Well, we're fixing to read here in Exodus chapter 25. Can you see it all right, brother? In Exodus chapter 25 here, it represents the presence of God. God, everywhere the children of Israel went, the ark went before them. It was the presence of God. Now, God had some special rules for carrying that ark everywhere they went. In the side of it, it had rings on each side. You can see a stake, a pole down through the side of it. And what they were supposed to do whenever they traveled with the ark, it was supposed to be borne up on top of their shoulders as they walked ahead of the children of Israel. God's always got a plan how he wants everything worked out. God wants everything done exactly the way that he wants it. Is that right? Now I want to show you something in Exodus chapter 25, if you would please, and in verse 21. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I'll give thee. And there will I meet with thee, and he said, and I'll commune with thee, and I'll commune with thee from above the mercy seat, and between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, for all things which I give thee in commandment of the children of Israel. Remember, the ark was the presence of God. Now, we don't have the ark nowadays, but we sure still need the presence of God. Is that right? Now, I want you to do me another favor real quickly so we can get ready to get out of here, if you would. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, if you would, in chapter number 4. In 1 Samuel chapter number 4. The children of Israel is fixing to go into battle. And when they fix to go into battle, they lose the battle. And they got this harebrained idea that if we go back and we take the ark and we put the ark out on the battlefield out there, which is never supposed to have been there, that God will protect us because that ark will protect us and they'll be scared of our God. But look at this real close and what happened, if you would, please, in verse 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And when the Philistines were afraid, look, lost people, nowadays it's known as Palestinians, then it was known as Philistines, were afraid, they said, "God is come into the camp." Even the lost knew that the ark represented the camp of God. Then they took it, they took the ark of God, these Philistines did, and they put it in a temple that had their gods in it. Dagon was his name. It means the fish god. And every night when they shut the doors on the temple there, you know what would happen? Angels would come down and slap Dagon right in his head. The next morning they'd come, they'd open up the temple doors, and there was Dagon flat of his face. Then they all got scared, and then God began to give them all kind of diseases and all these things. They said, "Man, we've got to get rid of this thing around here. It's about to kill us." Now watch this real close now. So that what David does, Saul, all the time that he was king, he never went after the presence of God. But David said, "We got to go get the ark of God to have the presence." Now he went after the ark, doing a good thing to go get the ark. But he made a big, big mistake. What did he do, Brother Johnny? I told you at first that ark was supposed to be carried up on the shoulders of the people. Is that right? But what David did when he went to get the ark, he put it on a cart, on a regular old cart like that. And God said, "I'm not going to be carried this way." They hit a little bump. The ark got ready to fall. A man touched it. And when he did, God killed him instantly like that for touching and doing the things that God told him not to do. Now David gets scared. And David gets upset seeing a man gets killed. Now he's going to go to a house. I want you to watch this real close, what happens, if you would, in verse 9. In 2 Samuel 6, 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. Boy, I wish we had more fear of the Lord today. And he said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" And so David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him to the city of David. But David carried aside, please underline this man's name, into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gideonite. You know what this Gideonite was? This man was a Philistine. This man lived in the city that Goliath was from. But David got scared of trying to touch the ark of God. This was a lost man. And the Bible said in verse 11, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gideonite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his house." Glory to God. You see, underline that thing, for 3 months. 90 days of revival broke out in this man's house. Here was a lost man, a heathen man. But once the presence of God got in his house, his whole house broke out into a revival. Do you understand what I'm trying to show you? There's a man that lived in a place where Goliath lived that hated King David. And David said, "We're going to leave God at your house." And for 90 days, look at what happened. The Bible said, "And for 3 months of the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his household. And it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God.' So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness." Watch this real close now. Watch this if you would be so close or so kind to watch this. Here's God. God is in the house of Obed-Edom for 90 days. That man had been living in that house there, I don't know how many years, but once the presence of God got into his house there, everybody in fortune and everybody began to hear about what was happening down in his house, about God to come to live down in Obed-Edom's house. Now watch this real close, if you would, please. Turn over while you're there. Turn over to First Chronicles chapter number 13. Just turn on back. First Chronicles chapter number 13. I want to show you some things that happen down when Jesus comes to your house. I want you to watch this real close. The Bible said that David went down to get that ark to take it back. And Obed-Edom got so upset. He'd done been having the presence of God in his house for 3 months. He said, David, you're not going to take him alone. David, I'm going with you. I feel the same way. I tell you one thing, when the presence of God leaves, glory to God, I'm going to hook him up and get out of there too. Is that right? You can have all the churches, steeples you want. They ain't worth a damn unless you got the presence of God there. Is that right? 1 Chronicles 13, look here, watch this real close now. In verse 12, David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried aside in the house of Obed-Edom. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Everything that Obed-Edom had, that goes to show me number one thing in him. Once you get saved by the grace of God, he comes to live with you, you can prosper. Is that right? A lot of you was just like me, didn't have nothing, and I'm not this bitty hen junk talking about that kind of prosperity, but I'll tell you what, I've never seen nobody to pay their tithes and be a good giver that God don't bless them. Is that right? When Jesus comes to live at your house, he said David got word that everything that Obed-Edom had, that he was a blessed man. Is that right? Now here's my problem. Here's my problem. A lot of times I get through eating with people at night at service and we're glad to eat. And here's what they'll say to me. They'll say, Brother Johnny, what was wrong down at the church tonight? I said, what are you talking about? They say God was not down at the church tonight. Isn't it a strange thing that they can spot when God ain't at the house of God, but they can't spot when he ain't at their house? Is that right? I've never had nobody say, Brother Johnny, what was wrong in my house today? How come God wasn't down there? Is that right? Huh? Is that true? What's wrong? You know what your problem is? We don't have a God consciousness. Down at the house of God, we come here 3 times a week. We meet him here. We know whether he's here or whether he's not there. But nobody don't ever say, God's not down at my house. You know what we need to do? There's a plaque we all got on our walls at our house. They said, Jesus is a guest here. You need to throw that thing in the garbage. He's not a guest. He's a resident, and he's supposed to live there. Is that right? In the name of God, let me ask you something, Belinda. If George Bush pulled at your house tomorrow, and he drove up in front of your house, Secret Service, all the lights, everything will flash and everything there, would your neighbors know he's there? How in the name of God could the greatest personality that has ever been in this world, Jesus Christ, live at your house and your neighbors don't even know it? Is that right? When Jesus comes to live at your house, my friend, it makes a difference. Is that right? Let me ask you something. If I took this envelope right here, and to each family here now, and I just knew your street name, I just know Jabbo street name. But watch this. I don't put no name on the front of the envelope. I just put to God's family, Garrett's Chapel, no address, Chickamauga, Georgia. And I mail that. I wonder if Jabbo would get that letter. I wonder when that mailman would have got to sorting out his mail and putting the rubber bands around it and say, I know exactly what house that goes to. Because that's where Jesus lives at. Is that right? Jesus lives in that house. I know that he lives in there. Is that true? We got a consciousness of him in the church. But we don't have a conscious at him in our own house. I guess you can tell I got a pretty hot temper. And one day, I'll never forget this. I was pastoring my church.
And I had all kind of problems like any pastor does. And I got home, and the kids' bicycles was in the driveway. And I'll never forget the longest day of my life. I got out of that car, and I went in that house. I said, Colleen! Colleen! What's these kids' bicycles doing out here in this yard out here? From the other end of the house. She said, I'll take care of it, Johnny. I said, Colleen, Jill, I told you I don't want them kids' bicycles. Johnny, I told you I'd take care of it. And all of a sudden, she was on the other end of the house in the den. All of a sudden, it come to my mind. I bet we got company. One of my church members is over here. And it scared me to death. And you know what I said? That's okay, honey. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. You see how we are? Do you see how we are? Is that exactly right? Oh, but when he lives there all the time and you know he's there, is that right? And old Eden said, you might come take him away from my house. Ah, glory to God, but I'm going with him.
That's right. Amen.
And David said, I got to take him to Jerusalem. And you know what Obed-Eden did? Obed-Eden followed David. Ain't that something? They was at that house there when David went there that day. I don't know that they might have not had much to eat there that day before that ark got there. They might have been eating them Sonic $5 for $5 on Monday nights. But after that ark came in there, they was eating T-bone steak. And his little old cantaloupes was as big as Volkswagens. I mean, God blessed him. God took care of him. And God will prosper you. It's all right. And look at here what he said. He said, I want to go with the ark. I hope you understand what I'm trying to tell you. But I'm telling you, I'm afraid we've lost the presence of God. I guess when I got saved, God put some of the craziest people you'd ever thought in your mind around me. There was an old preacher man. A lot of you never heard of him. Mays Jackson was his name. I'm telling you, that man that believed that God was with him everywhere he went, he told Dot when he got saved, he said, Dot, Jesus ain't going to just live down at the church. Jesus is going to live in this house. Watch this real close. He got ready to go to the post office, down to the Atlanta post office one day. And when he got to go down to the Atlanta post office one day, he said, Dot, you want to go down with me to mail my tapes? And she said, no, Mays, I'm busy. He said, I went back there and asked Nolan, my boy, Nolan, you want to go with Daddy? I got to go down to the post office. No, Daddy. He said, I'm telling you the truth, I can't get none of y'all to do nothing. He said, I walked back in the living room. And he said, in my mind, I thought I saw Jesus there. He said, I said, Jesus, will you go with me down to the post office? He said, Jesus said, I sure will, Mays. He said, I got to the door and opened the door for him. And we got on out. We got out to the car. I opened the car for him. I opened the car for him. I let him in. I shut the door. He said, I'm going down the street in Atlanta. People pulling up beside me at the red light. See, my lips are moving. They think I've lost my mind. They don't know what's wrong with me. He said, I drive up to the Atlanta post office. And he said that one of the mailboxes out in front of it there, and the door was open. And he said there was a black mailman out there was taking the mail out of the thing there. And he said, I walked out of my car, walked around and opened the door. I said, Jesus, get out. Go in the post office with me. And he said, I looked. He said, that mailman was down behind that post office little box like this. And he said, he was just looking. He said, his eyes got about that big around. He said, his eyes got about that big around. And he was watching me, and he got to moving around his legs like that. And he walked by, and he said, when I walked by, he said, Mister, you sure is spooky. And that's what they'll think about you when you think Jesus is that close to you. Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh? Does he live at your house? Does everybody know he's around there? Is that true? That's where we need to carry him. We need to get him in our house. So watch this real close. So not only that, not only did he prosper, look at chapter 15, first where you at, right there, First Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 24. Look at that, First Chronicles 15, verse 24. And the Bible said in the last part of the verse, I can't pronounce all them names there, but we'll have to notify the next of kin as soon as we can identify them. And the Bible said, in the last part of that verse, and Obed-Eden and Jephthah were doorkeepers for the ark.
He got himself a job after the presence of God come to his house. He said, I want to get me a job down at the house of God. And do you know there's some work, something you can do at Fallen Waters Baptist Church and every church that you go to if you love Jesus Christ? I don't care if it's a doorkeeper, what it is, you want to do something.
Is that right? So not only that was he a, not only was he a porter, but look at chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. Not only was he a porter, but the Bible said that he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise God of Israel. Asaph the king, look at the bottom part of that verse 5. And Obed-Edom. Brothers, not only did he prosper, not only did he prosper, but all he said, but he wound up to be an appraiser. And if you're not a praiser, there's something wrong with you. How can you not praise him after what he's done for you? That praise means to just dance about and act foolishly and celebrate what God did in your life. Is that right? And that's the way I want to be, Brother Matt. I'll tell you the truth. That's exactly what I want to be. Let me tell you something. Here's what I think. When Christ comes to your house, it'll be noised abroad. What I read you in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Before I got saved, the place we was living in, we lived in the top part, and it was a bootlegger who lived in the bottom. I could get drunk just smelling the fumes from the bootleg whiskey that he made coming up through our seats, smoking up through our floor like that. But can I tell you something? When I got saved, and my house and Jesus come to live with us, and we was a preaching and a shouting and a singing, having college prayer meetings over there, that man had to move out of there. Can I tell you something? Once Jesus moved in your house, there's a brand new attitude. Is that right? There's brand new literature in the house too. Is that right? Brand new literature. I know what I'm talking about, fellas. Maybe you won't admit it, but I had a whole stack of stuff I had to get rid of that I had hid all over the place. Oh, I know y'all never did that. I'm just the most lustful guy around here. You know, I'm just the only one. Not none of you guys, but I did. And I'm telling you the truth. When Christ comes in, you get rid of all that junk and your attitude changes. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I told my wife, I said, I promise you this one thing, Carlene. I'll never jump on you. I'll never beat you again. You don't have to worry about me no more. Your attitude will change. Your literature will change. And glory to God, your music will change too. Is that right? Is that true? That music, that old junk, you know, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. And you know what I'm talking about. Y'all probably never even heard that. Huh? But it'll change. Everything will change once Jesus comes to live into that house. And Obed-Edom said, David, if you take his presence, I'm going with you. And I imagine the day, Brother Ray, that David come in there and said, we taking him off with you. I believe that if Obed-Edom told his wife, honey, get the clothes packed, put a for sale sign in front of the house, we're moving out. Because we're not going to live where God's not going to be.
Amen.
That's the way it should be. Once he comes and he moves into your house, it'll change everything about you and everybody in the Bible said, I read you in Mark's Gospel chapter 2. When Jesus came in the house, it was noised abroad. Everybody got to talking about it. You remember that? You remember when you got saved and everybody got told about they thought you lost your brains? They thought something was wrong with you? You know what I'm talking about? Do you even understand?
Amen.
That's the change that Christ will come once he comes and moves into your house. Everything will change. You don't have to get rid of your friends. They'll get rid of you.
Sure.
Is that right? That's the thing that they won't want to be around you. You know why? Because you got a brand new life about you. Is that true? That's exactly what will happen. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I got saved there that night. And the next day, I worked for AFCO Aeronautics. We built helicopters going to Vietnam. And I got saved there that night. And God got to working on me. God got to working on me that night. I'll never forget it the longest day of my life. I smoked 5 packs of Winston's a day, had them rolled up in my sleeve. I put lemon juice and Comet all in between my fingers, trying to brush my teeth and clean my teeth and get all that yellow stain. Had hair down about, you don't even think I ever had no hair, did you? Huh? I did. And I had that hair, got that old clipped off there, and I knew I had a dice game lined up at 4 o'clock that afternoon. I went to that job and I made up my mind that morning. I got ready to go to work. I got my banana sandwich and my little bologna sandwich together. And I got down to the job, but I didn't park where I generally park. I parked way down near the end because I'd never been to church before. I didn't know what to tell them guys. I didn't know you call it salvation, converted. I didn't know nothing like that. So I got way away from them and I was trying to tiptoe inside the plant. And one guy hollered at me and said, "Hey, Johnny! Don't forget 4 o'clock that noon, we got a dice game." And it just come out of my mouth before I knew what to say. I said, "Fellas, I can't play no dice tonight." "Why not?" "I got religion last night. I didn't know you call it salvation. I thought it was religion." I said, "I got it last night." And you know what? I didn't have to tell those fellas not to come over no more. They just stopped coming. There wasn't no beer. We went on the back porch. Me and my wife, she'll tell you, we went on the back porch at a garage apartment and we poured bottles of Smirnoff vodka off that porch out there. I tell you, that's exactly what God, once He moves into your house. Wow! Is that right? Once He moves into your house, and does everybody know that He lives at your address? Do they know? Do they know? You don't have to wear these t-shirts, "I'm a Jesus freak," and all that junk. You don't have to wear that stuff. They'll know it. Is that right? Is that true? Well, I feel like I'm preaching a bunch of Episcopalians tonight. But that's true. Your countenance will change. The things you used to hate, now you'll love. Is that right? That's exactly... My friend here a while back, I'm closing with this. He'd been gone for about 3 months on a revivals. And he got in. He told his wife he had to go to another meeting. And he told his wife, said, "Honey, I'm going to go back here in the room and study." And she said, "Okay." He said, "Now what I'm going to do when I get in the room to study, I want you to be ironing my shirts and get my suits ready. And I want you to have the kids leave me alone. I've got to get in there and study. Leave me alone." He said, "I just got in there knowing I had a meeting to go." And he said, "I was in that room." I said, "I wasn't there about 5 minutes." And he said, "I heard." He said, "I said, who is it?" And she said, "Daddy, it's me, Charity." He said, "Charity, you get back in that living room. I done told your mama, y'all leave me alone. You get back in that living room. I'm busy. I'm trying to get something from God. Leave me alone." Said a few minutes later, I heard on the door again. "Who is it?" "Daddy, it's me, Charity." He said, "Charity, I done told you my last time. God, I'm sick and tired of you bothering me like this. I'm trying to study." He said, "I reached like this." He said, "I caught that door and I opened it. Get in here, girl." Said she got in there. He said she was holding her dress just like that. And big old tears were rolling down her face. He said, "Charity, what do you want?" She said, "Daddy, all I want is you." And that's what the Lord wants you to tell Him. Lord, all I want is you. That's all that matters. And tonight, I pray to God, when you get ready to leave this church tonight, when you get ready to get in that car, before you walk out of here, when we get the altar call, that you'll come to this old time altar and say, "Jesus, I'm sick and tired of just having a conscience as you at the church. I want you to come to my house. You're my welcome person to live here, not to be a guest, not just to come in and out like everybody else."
Amen, brother.
So tonight, if you know tonight that if Jesus come to your house, that you had something that would be offensive to Him, Tonight's the night that you come to an old-time altar and say, God, I got some music. I got some song. I got some literature. I got some things that you would be ashamed, and I'd have to hide it, that if you come here tonight. But tonight I want to get rid of it. I want to throw it out. That's why the Jews has got the Passover. When they got rid of the Passover, the daddy goes with a feather brush and a dustpan, and he gets all the leaven out of the house. He's getting all the stuff out. He's throwing it out. Tonight shall be a good night to throw all the leaven and the trash out and say, Jesus, come to my house. Let's bow our heads, would please. Will the song leader please come? I wish you'd think about that. If George Bush come to your house, everybody would know it. But does everybody in your community know that Jesus dwells at your house? If I sent this letter to your house on your street, would your mailman put it in your box and say, these are some Jesus people lives here? You might have something at your house tonight. I bid you tonight to come. Whatever, however we can help you to pray, whatever it is. What about it tonight? What about it tonight? Jesus at my house. Oh, I tell you. Me and my wife used to have a home, a house, but we never had a home until Christ come in. And I told her, I said, darling, I want him to be supreme in this house. He gave me my house, he gave me my breath, he gave me the clothes on my back. Why can't I give it all to him? Why can't I give my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren all belong to him? What about you, my friend? What about you, my friend? You've been thinking some things you shouldn't be thinking. You got some things kind of like Achan's tent, kind of hid away. That you'd be ashamed if the consciousness of God come that he was going to come visit your house. What about you, my friend? What about you? What about you? Why don't we really have a revival, a home revival? Obed said, Lord, wherever you go, I want to go with you. And Lord, if you're going to leave out, I'm going to leave out too. I want to be with you, Lord. I never had nothing till you come to my house. I heard recently of a little boy, pretty rich boy, teasing a little boy that lived in a trailer. He told that boy, said the rich boy told the poor boy that lived in the trailer. He said, you don't have a home. And the boy that lived in the trailer said, yes, we got a home, but we just don't have a house to put it in. What about you? If Jesus come to your house, what would you have to get rid of? What about some of your old friends that you sure couldn't let come by because he was there to see you? What about that, my friend? Some of the old literature that you've got, you'd have to throw away. If you said, I'm just going to come stay with you. Tonight, my own self, I want to take my home and everything that God's let me grasp in this life and possess. And give it all to him again. I say, God, I want you to know that I don't want to covet one thing. It's just a little house you give me to live in here a while. You put some clothes on my back. Give me good friends. And you take care of me. How could I not give it all to him? Let's stand if we would, please. How can we help you? God bless you, sister. Come on. Come on.
house. Yes. 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 I'm going to do just exactly what I tell you I'm going to do. I want to pray myself. And if you want to pray right where you're at, that's fine. But I just want the Lord to know that I thank Him for coming to live with me for 40 years. And I've let Him down so many times. But I want to renew a commitment to my God to let Him know that everything belongs to Him. I thank Him for everything. Let's pray. Our Father, I bless Your name, Lord. I thank You, Lord God, for letting me be here with my good friends. I thank You, Lord God, for thinking about the time, Lord, that You come in and moved in my little apartment. Lord, You made it what it is today, and I want to thank You for it. And Lord, I want You to rest assured, Lord God, that I don't covet none of it or take no honor for nothing, Lord. You give it every bit of it to me, Lord. And I want to thank You so much for that. I pray, God, that each one of Your children here, Lord God, will realize, Lord, that we walk out of this church tonight, Lord, that You're not going to just stay in this building, that You're going home with them. And if there might be something, Lord, in their place that they got kind of tucked away, or some things they're listening to that I'll not be listening to, that God, they'll carry this message home with them. What if Jesus come to stay for a day or two? Help us, Lord. Forgive us where we fail You. I bless Your name. Thank You, Lord God, for this night and these friends. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
A great illustration. He sent a letter to said to God's family on your street, would it make it to your house?
Yes.
Amen. That is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate Brother Johnny.
Thank you, brother.
Take a very simple truth. Last night draw near to God. I thought, man, brother, I needed that message. That was an awesome message. And tonight is even better. You know, just praise the Lord for that. Thank You for being in the house of God tonight.
Yes.
I think you're thanking yourself for being here too.
That's right.
Amen. I'm just telling you, world, you know, there's so many things to do. It's the time I set aside to be in the presence of God and be with His people, be at His house. Those are the times of my life that have been so much meaningful to me. You know, and I praise the Lord for being here. Hey, there's a world out there that doesn't know the Jesus that you know. You know, why don't you grab one of them and bring them to the house of God tomorrow night? Hey, man, you know, can't think of a better place in the world to be than right here. Hey, I tell young people one time, I said, paid you $100 to be here, would you be here? Oh, yeah. I said, can you imagine that? Pay somebody $100. I guarantee if we gave $100 bills advertising the paper, our church would be full, be standing room all, be people lined up outside trying to get into the house of God. Can you imagine what you're going to get in heaven for being in the house of God? $100 is going to be just pocket change. You know, compared to what God's blessing is going to be upon us from we do what's right when we serve Him with all our hearts. Amen. I'm telling you, it's worthy. It's worth your time. It's worth everything you do. Your labor is not in vain when it's for the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Hug Brother Johnny's neck. He's sweating like a dog back there. But I'm telling you what, you know, some of that hallelujah juice coming out of him. Getting some on you, man. You might have that same spunk as you do. Matter of fact, you might be able to get your leg up as high as he does. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Ain't nobody do it like him. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. May the grace and the goodness of Almighty God just fill your hearts and minds and keep you. And let you know how much He loves you and cares about you. God bless you. See you again tomorrow night.